It wouldn't be a prequel of GOT if it wouldn't have any nudity, wouldn't it? The reason why I panicked even more is that when I tried to pause the scene, the video kind of froze, but the audio was still there. If you can imagine the reaction of the couples for Christ, guests, the horror. Hey Zesties, welcome to another episode of The Gleeful Talk Show, where we share zesty stories to cultivate the happiness and hero within and out. I'm very excited to talk about the topic in today's episode, but before any of that, please follow, rate, or review this podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. You can also follow me on my socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. That's at Gleeful Talk Show. I'm more active on Instagram, so please say hi over there. You can also listen to the episodes through my website, gleefultalkshow.com, or email to gleefultalkshow@gmail.com if you have feedback or episode recommendations. I also started a lifestyle blog where I share content about fragrance, beauty, food, and travel. Please do visit theambivertlife.com and show me some love over there too. So, what's with today's episode that I'm very excited about? Well, for those zesties who have been here from the start, you might have noticed how this podcast has evolved over the year or so, where I started from interviewing friends, then to experts of different fields, to sharing more of my thoughts and opinions about life experiences, social impacts, and pop culture as you have been requesting. So today and for the next few weeks to come, we are exploring more of pop culture content with a twist. So for those zesties who aren't into that type, no worries, I will still inject some social impact and learnings on each episode as I relate it to real life, or alternate some weeks with a different topic. But this week, I'm so excited to be talking about, drumroll please, The House of Dragon, the prequel to Game of Thrones. Yes, yes, yes. I've been waiting for this in such a long time, and thankfully, there have been shows that I had my attention on before this, so the wait was not that painfully long or agonizing. But for those of you who breathe, eat, and sleep George R.R. Martin's books, this episode might not be for you as I am more of a middle ground fan. I know some bits and pieces of it, but I'm not privy into the extreme details of it, especially with the lore of Game of Thrones or the Song of Ice and Fire. I've been meaning to read the books. I have actually the books with me, but I haven't really read it in detail yet. I started the first book, but yes, I haven't really finished it. But because of the House of Dragons, I just bought the book Fire and Blood, which is the inspiration for the show. So I might also inject that in some of the episodes when I finish it. It's a very, very long book, so I'm not sure when I'm gonna finish it, but I actually purchased the audiobook with the book itself as well. So for those who haven't watched Game of Thrones before, well, let me change your mind. So you'd ask me, I don't want to be spoiled. I haven't watched The House of Dragons and I will watch it only when the full season is available. Well, dear Zesty, worry no more. I'm not going to spoil you with major facts, but only the facts that have already been mentioned to the public before. This will be perhaps give you an introduction about the House of the Dragon and also give you some pointers on the long and intricate history of the Targaryens without spoiling you that much. There will be some facts that I'll be sharing, but nothing major. And the second half, I will be talking more about my thoughts on the show and some spoilers may be dropped, but I will let you know. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about an overview of the House of Dragon, the actors, the characters, and cinematography, if you will, its relation to the book, and my overall thoughts about it. So first things first, The House of the Dragon is inspired by the book Fire and Blood that tells the history of the ancient House of Targaryen. Fire and Blood was released in November 2018 and was supposed to be 2 volumes, but as of today, only 1 volume was released, and it's reportedly the 2nd volume is the House of the Dragon series. Interesting. Now, due to being intrigued by the show, Hot D, actually the acronym is Hot D or H-O-T-D, but in the HBO website, it's Hot, H-O-T, space D. So anyway, because I was so intrigued with the show, as I mentioned before, I bought the Fire and Blood book and I'm currently reading it right now. I've seen mixed reviews about Fire and Blood as it deviates to the usual style of George R.R. Martin, but I actually like it. And I think that the sole reason why the writing style is different from the Song of Ice and Fire is because the setting is, this was actually written by a maester, an archmaester in fact, named Gildane, and was transcribed by George R.R. Martin. So basically it's a fake history book of the whole lore of the Song of Ice and Fire. So that's why it's told like that. It doesn't have any dialogue. It doesn't have any characters talking to each other. But it's more of like the Archmaester is talking to you about it. Think of it as like your granddad telling you a piece of history. So that's what the book is. Some people might think it's kind of boring and dry, but I kind of like it. And then based on Westeros.org, a wiki of ice and fire, in the real world, the world of ice and fire, anything attributed to Archmaester Gildane was directly written by George R.R. Martin in the same way that Yandel's words were written by Elio Garcia and Linda Antonson. In the original text of The World of Ice and Fire, Gildane was the maester to serve at Summerhall before it burned down. He sent his papers to Archmaester Geralt at the Citadel, likely for his commentary and approval, where they remained until they were recently discovered by Maester Yandel. Yandel has used Gildane's work as a major source of his book, The World of Ice and Fire, including a complete history of Aegon's conquest. Yandel discovered other manuscripts by Gildane, but many pages were misplaced or destroyed, and still others were damaged by neglect and by fire. However, Martin later decided to let Gildane live into Robert I Baratheon's reign. So his history book, Fire and Blood, being a history of the Targaryen kings of Westeros, could cover the entire Targaryen history. Hence, in these prints, Gildane shared his uncompleted work with Archmaester Perriston, who then informed Yandel. Gildane permitted the use of passages from his work in Yandel's book. Moreover, Gildane is no longer the last maester to serve at Summerhall as he was replaced by Maester Corso. Now, it's a very intricate story. Like, it sounds like how history or even the Bible was written, you know, like there were some pages missing, etc., blah, blah, blah. But yes, that was how the quote-unquote manuscripts of The World of Ice and Fire was put together. Now, with the show, when I watched the first episode, I didn't really know all about this first and second volume kind of thing, and I only knew that this is being a prequel. So when I saw the first episode, it wasn't what I was expecting. Don't get me wrong, it's not that I don't like it, I really like it. But it wasn't the timeline that I was expecting. I was expecting Aegon's conquest or even the time of old Valyria. I'm not sure whether there is enough material on before the doom of Valyria. So maybe that's why this wasn't about that. But who knows? Maybe it's on the works. Maybe they're going to expand the world similar to the world of Star Wars, right? So just to give you an overview on what it is about, and warning, there would be some spoilers ahead, but quite minor. It'll be difficult to do a review without giving you some context, Zesty, so I hope you would understand. So, the House of the Dragon is set at the height of the Targaryen dynasty. And now I can understand why they chose this timeline instead of Aegon's conquest or the first AC after the conquest. I felt like Aegon's conquest would be more of an expensive show to run because of all the war and the dragons and the effects that you need to produce. And, you know, it's less drama there because it's just war and fighting, etc. Maybe they can use it as a movie material instead. With that being said, at the height of a king's reign lies the height of drama as well. Here comes various characters and their agenda. So, in the first episode, we will get a glimpse of King Jaehaerys, first of his name, third son and fourth child of Prince Aenys Targaryen and his wife Alyssa Velaryon. The House Valyrian is an ancient and proud house with the blood of old Valyria in its veins. They actually came to Westeros even before the Targaryens, based on their accounts, okay? Settling in the Gullet on the low-lying and fertile isle of the island of Driftmark, rather than its stony smoking neighbor, Dragonstone. The castle of Driftmark housed their ancient high seat, the Driftwood Throne, which, according to legend, has been given to them by a Merling king to conclude a pact. They were never dragon riders, but instead, they were seafarers. And one of the prominent characters you will see this season is Corlys Velaryon, called the Sea Snake, married to Princess Rhaenys Targaryen, and she became Velaryon. He is nicknamed Sea Snake in his youth because he is the greatest explorer in Westeros and now master of ships. In this timeline, he is the richest man in Westeros. His vast wealth includes the largest navy in the world. He is master of Driftmark, an island west of Dragonstone in the Blackwater Bay. He is played by Steve Toussaint. In his interview at Comic-Con, he mentioned that he received some criticism online on why he's playing a Velaryon character, which is partially Targaryen, and as you can see with the blonde hair. But I think he is killing it. I feel that it makes sense to have him play it. I think people with deeper skin tones should play Master of the Tides. It just makes more sense scientifically too, you know, like, why is he receiving all this hate? Corlys Velaryon is married to Princess Rhaenys Targaryen, who is unfortunately called the queen that never was. I will never tell you what it is about, but you will know when you watch the first episode. She is played by Eve Best. When I first watched the episode, I didn't really felt any presence from her, but I actually rewatched it. And yes, I can sense the tension building from her end because of the circumstances that she was put in. Although she was put in that position, her vibe doesn't scream Cersei nor villain-esque to me. So let's see how the story unravels. Then we have Viserys, the first of his name, father of Rhaenyra Targaryen and Balon Targaryen. He's the son of King Jaehaerys and cousin to Rhaenys. He is the fifth ruler of the Targaryen dynasty, a level-headed decision-maker who just wants peace and harmony for his kingdom. But sometimes, I feel that as a ruler, you need to stand your ground and command the room. Otherwise, you will be seen as a king who doesn't have a backbone. He does wield Blackfyre, the Valyrian steel sword that originally belonged to Aegon Targaryen. Aegon masterfully wielded Blackfyre when he conquered the Seven Kingdoms. And mind you, Zesties, it's Blackfyre with a Y, not an I, so a pretty cool name. He rides Balerion, who is also ridden by Aegon the Conqueror, known as the Black Dread. It's rumored that he is so large that his shadow could swallow an entire town when he took flight. The creators have huge respect to how the actor Paddy Considine has made Viserys to life, although I'm hearing from other people that I know that they didn't actually like how he plays Viserys. To me, he doesn't have that quote-unquote kingly material in him. Kind of a bit weak presence, I'd say. But I guess that's what they were going for. the creators, I mean. So, because Viserys is actually a level-headed and admirable king, I haven't really looked at how people received his take on Viserys. Although you would kind of see some ruthlessness in Viserys in the first episode, but it doesn't really nudge me a bit. Like, he doesn't have that kingly vibe to him. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. So I'm sorry for those who really liked him, but it's not about the actor, but how he played the Viserys character. So this is just my opinion, guys. So don't hate me on this. Might I dare say, the problem and at the same time the beauty of George R.R. Martin's lore is that the names are so similar and the family tree so intricate that frankly a fan like me still have some huge difficulty following the family tree. And much as I wanted to be God level in George's work, it's just impossible for me because I have other stories that I love to follow too. So it doesn't fit all in my brain, unfortunately. So I'm trying to break it down to you zesties as much as I could without falling into that rabbit hole. So Viserys has a younger brother named Daemon Targaryen, who is quite the opposite of Viserys. And you will clearly see in this episode, he is fierce, albeit unpredictable warrior. Reminds me of Maegor Targaryen, I'd say. He has the Dark Sister, the famous Valyrian steel sword that originally belonged to Visenya Targaryen. And we know that Visenya Targaryen is also a formidable warrior. He rides Caraxes, nicknamed the Blood Worm, who is lean with blood red scales. He is played by Matt Smith. Now, Matt Smith, as I've just known when I was researching about this episode, he is a famous actor and he has been in other series like Doctor Who and I forgot what it was. If you know Zesties, can you comment on my Instagram or send me a note? But he is a famous actor already. And it surprised me that they took on a famous actor into the series. Because usually, whenever they create a new series, they take on newer actors, just like Game of Thrones. Although some of them were quite already famous at that time too. But anyway, next we have Rhaenyra Targaryen, the first daughter of King Viserys and Queen Aemma Arryn. She greatly admires her uncle Daemon, who gifted her a ruby pendant that sits on a chain with metalwork that resembles swirling gray and black smoke made of Valyrian steel. Who knows if she's going to wield the sword in the upcoming episodes? She does ride a dragon named Cyrex. Without spoiling you too much, we are expecting 17 dragons to pop up in the whole duration of the show. Not sure if it's only going to be in season 1, but I heard they got renewed for season 2 recently. I might have also heard that they are planning on 5 seasons only, but who knows, I could be wrong. Rhaenyra is played by Millie Alcock, and she's from Australia! Yay! I have to listen carefully whether she used her Aussie accent. But when I rewatched the first episode, I couldn't distinguish a harsh Aussie accent from the actor. Though it's quite prevalent that most actors in this show have a British accent. Another big player is Alicent Hightower. She is the daughter of Otto Hightower, the Hand of the King. I haven't finished the book, but judging on the glances of the character with each other, Alicent will play a big role in the future of the realm. She is played by Emily Carey, and during the Comic-Con, the showrunner Ryan Condal mentioned Emily's method acting, where she writes in her journal as Alicent Hightower. Wow, talk about dedication. The showrunners have given the actors room for creativity in building their characters, so it's definitely a treat to the creatives. We can also see Otto Hightower here on episode 1, The Hand of the King. Even just seeing one episode, I can definitely see that Otto is one of the chess players in the realm, with people likening him to Littlefinger. After rewatching the episode, I felt like he is more like of a Tywin Lannister. I know, we shouldn't compare the characters, but The reason I'm just comparing is just to give you context of the role that they might be playing in the future. He is played by Riz Ifans, or Ifans. Sorry if I mispronounced that. I could definitely say that the actor played this character really well. I can sense a commanding and cunning vibe in him. Not sure of his true intentions, though, the character, I mean. So that's something I'm excited to know about in the future. There were a lot of characters being shown only in the first episode, but I won't delve into them that much. Based on the trailer, you can see that there are two timelines, as evidenced by two Alicents and two Rhaenyra. I actually don't understand why they have to hire two actors for each, because they can actually just make them look older or younger based on makeup and costume. But I guess they wanted to let the viewer see the stark differences or growth of the two characters from being girls to women. But I'd say if that would have been the case, they should have hired a younger character, more like Arya and Sansa when they first started. But mind you, the young Alicent and Rhaenyra are doing a good job with their characters, so no shade here. It's just that the timeline of when the show starts was Rhaenyra was around 8 years old and she looks a bit older than that. So I didn't understand why they have to hire an older than her kind of actor. But I won't say who the actors are because they weren't actually shown in the first episode. But I think they are quite interesting actors, so I kind of like them too, based on the trailers. So now this might be the time for those zesties who doesn't want to listen about the spoilers. So spoilers ahead.
A few inches later.
When the episode started, yes, there was narration. And I love that the narrator was a woman, which is very fitting to the theme that this show is going to tell us about. Since this happened around 172 years before Daenerys Targaryen, the culture and succession was less progressive, as we can see in the Game of Thrones. That means society was more patriarchal than it ever was. No woman has sat on the Iron Throne ever before. So that's why Rhaenys Targaryen wasn't named the heir, even though she was the biggest contender to the throne, being the eldest granddaughter to King Jaehaerys. George R.R. Martin has written the books based on history, and as you can see, it's not even far from reality. So yes, in this era of the Targaryen rule, no woman has ever sat on the Iron Throne, as that is simply the order of things. But as Rhaenyra said, quote, "When I am queen, I will create a new order," unquote. Another iconic quote from Rhaenys was, "Men would sooner put the realm to the torch than to see a woman ascend in the throne." I am not a feminist or anything, but I am all for women or whatever gender to ascend, may it be the Iron Throne or as a local leader, because of their own abilities, not because of their gender. And women are as capable as men in ruling too, as you all know. And even with the first episode, I can clearly see what the creators wanted for the show, which I truly appreciate. The interviews I've seen so far also mention that unlike GOT, in this show, there is no good or evil and each has its own agenda where you will see the quote-unquote good in it. Let's see how this will play out. Maybe it's more like how Varys does things, don't you think? For the good of the realm or for their own good. After the narration, you can see a bird's eye view of the realm and a dragon. Okay, hear me out on this one, and hopefully no hate. I actually didn't like the visual effects. I don't know, the effects is not as good as what I am expecting it to be. The effects look unreal to me. I mean, they are unreal anyway, but it looks like visuals of a game. If you guys have played a game such as World of Warcraft or even the older ones, it gives me that vibe. Let me know in the comments how you feel about the visual effects. And with the intro, I mean, the narration is fine, I loved it, but I'm lacking the map. I need a map or maybe a family tree or something like that. I kind of get that they don't need to spell out the map because GOT has laid it down for us already. But we have new places here like Driftmark and new houses like Hightower and a very intricate family tree. So I wanted to see the connection visually, if you know what I mean. So yes, I really hope that this is just the styling of the pilot and it will not be like that in the future episodes. And as with any GOT or American fantasy series, you have nudity in here. I mean, it wouldn't be a prequel of GOT if it wouldn't have any nudity, wouldn't it? Okay, story time. When I was still in the Philippines and my cousins and I were watching GOT in our living room, it was season 1 and we were catching up with the series due to its popularity. So we preferred to see it in the living room because of the TV and we just plugged it in our laptop and then with HDMI cable from the laptop to the TV. And at that time, my parents had a visitor. They were from Couples for Christ, and if you remember, Cersei and Jaime is seen at the tower, you know what's gonna happen, right? And we wouldn't know that my parents have visitors at that time, and the scene was showing on the screen. So we panicked, and I literally panicked, especially that I'm the eldest of the bunch. The reason why I panicked even more is that when I tried to pause the scene, it kept on going. I mean, the audio was still ongoing. The video kind of froze, but the audio was still there. If you can imagine the reaction of the Couples for Christ guests, the horror. But they didn't really say anything, but their faces were so stunned. So in the end, I took out the HDMI cable from the TV and, you know, the laptop was still showing it or have that sound. So I ended up shutting down the laptop, like a hard shutdown using the button. It was so embarrassing, but so funny at the same time. So guys, don't ever watch House of the Dragon in your living room because you never know who's coming. Anyway, from what I heard, the House of the Dragon will not be showing too much violence on women, thankfully, unlike GOT, because GOT has got a lot of criticism about it and rightfully so. I mean, even if the books have described it, I feel like you don't have to be too graphic and explicit about the violence on women, especially that you're showing it on primetime TV or something like that. As a creator, you have the responsibility of sending a message, whatever that may be. So it really takes a lot of responsibility. So overall thoughts? So far, so good. I really like the creator's take on this one. And I have huge respect for Miguel Sapochnik, seeing his work in directing Hard Home, Battle of the Bastards, and Winds of Winter. He won an Emmy Award for the Battle of the Bastards, and no wonder the first episode of Hot D turned out quite well, especially with the side-to-side battle in the grounds and the Battle of the Childbirth. So I'm not going to say too much about that, but that's one of the highlights I feel. And they are also anticipating 10 episodes this season. And I'm planning to do a review each week or something like 2 to 3 episode roundup if you preferred it that way, Zesty. So let me know in your comments. And I greatly appreciate your thoughts and opinion around this as always. I still have a review coming up for Sandman and I'm just waiting to record it with my co-host at Nerdy Fans Podcast. So thanks so much, Zesties, for listening to this episode. If you like this episode, please do share it to your friends or in the social media. It'll truly help the show a lot. Don't forget to follow, rate, and review this podcast on your favorite podcasting platforms. If you'd like to support the show, please click on the link on the episode notes down below. Big thank you to Robert Suchin for keeping me caffeinated. And Zesty friends from the US, Slovakia, and Spain, please come say hi to my inbox in gleefultalkshow@gmail.com. If you'd like more lifestyle content, please head down to theambivertlife.com. Until next week, Zesties.